runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 158 with guest Francois Dormieux, recorded Friday, April 9th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and with me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Richard. What's up?
Not too much, my friend. You ready to do some run-ass?
Yeah, we got some unified communication stuff to talk about today.
Indeed, we do. I have a great guest for you. Francois Dormieux is a director of engineering and architect for Microsoft Communications Product Group. He has spent the past 7 years contributing to drive Microsoft unified communications and voice efforts. His current role consists in closely working with early adopters and leading customers, helping them define their unified communication strategy and deploying Microsoft Communications Server. In turn, he brings these customers' requirements into the product group, product specification, and development process. Francois's primary technical domain is voice topologies and interoperability with IP-PBX. Prior to joining Microsoft, Francois fulfilled leadership roles at AT&T and Level 3 Communications, where he was in charge of all VoIP services and offerings. He resides in Colorado, but today is speaking to us from Paris, France. Welcome.
Very cool.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Francois.
It's my pleasure to be with you today.
And you sound like you should be in Paris, actually. You've got a name like Francois. Are you originally from there?
I am originally from there. I'm visiting with a few customers and saying hi to my parents as well.
Oh, yeah. Very wise, my friend.
Always take
a little family time.
They treat me well, feed me well, you know, and even more drinks.
Well, the French eat and drink very well. I've spent enough time there to know we don't appreciate in North America what a meal really is.
It's long, for one thing.
Yes. It's a 3-hour affair. There is no such thing as fast food in France.
Absolutely not.
Thanks for joining us. What a great background to pull some information from. You know, you've certainly done a lot. What, maybe for people that just aren't familiar, what does unified communications mean? What are you talking about when you use that term?
That's a good question, Greg. And there's different people defining it different ways, you know, obviously. For us, it means three things. It means that you have a core infrastructure which is the same across the modalities that you use. And it means also that you have a unified way of presenting that to the user. So whether you're doing video, audio, a variety of things, different modalities, it's always going to come across as just one more modality in the same client, in the same kind of experience, very seamless. And the third thing that's really important is that all of this is extensible. It's all open. It's all part of platforms that people can use to write more modalities. So it can continue to be unified even if people invent something else. You know, I occasionally say, you know, we don't know how to do time travel, but let's say at some point somebody knows how to do it as a modality and can define an SDP for that, you know, session description protocol kind of header for that. Then OCS as it is capable of doing it. You know, it's just one more modality that we would do as one more click. And it's part of being a unified communication solution.
And I mean, part of this whole concept of unified is this different level of attention and interruption. I like instant messaging because I don't have to respond right away, but I can see that someone is there or they can see that I'm there and can send me a message and I can respond in a relatively short amount of time or choose to escalate to voice or de-escalate down to email.
You're absolutely right, Richard. And one of the things you're bringing up here is the notion of presence.
Right.
And presence to us is fundamental in the sense that it increases the efficiency of all communications. And the value of the way we do unified communications is that presence is unified as a core part of the platform. There's a couple of things we do that are quite different. The first one is everything is centered not on, let's say, an IP address or a phone number or a MAC address or, you know, whatever. It's centered on an individual in the sense, in our case, of the authentication that that individual can have against, you know, Active Directory. So as soon as you authenticate, you're yourself, you are, you know, you have rights, you have limitations in what you can do with the system as well, obviously, and responsibilities, but you have things you can do with the system. And one of the things that that happens is as you act, as you, you know, move your mouse, as you do, you know, your calendar shows that you're in a meeting, as you get on a call with the system, it's all understood and helps people who want to work with you understand whether you're busy or not. And one of the interesting things as a result, you know, that's kind of anecdotic, but I used to have maybe 4 or 5 voicemails per day.
Right.
Not a huge number, but I used to have quite a few. And now that we have a system that shows whether I'm available or not, you know, why would people call me if they know in the first place I'm not there?
Right.
You know, they might email me, or if they know I'm on a call already. Obviously, I'm not going to pick up a second call unless it's really, really important. So actually, I don't get voicemails anymore. Voicemails is, you know, it's not the most efficient way of communicating to start with. We've improved that a little bit. We can do voice transcription or text transcription of the voicemail. It's still not great. Voicemails have gone away for me. If I get one per week, it's probably the most I get, you know. And that's one of the beauties of that presence capability you were illustrating, Richard, that you don't have that randomness. You know, let me call that person. I don't know if that person's available. Let me call Greg, you know, and Greg might be in the midst of a meeting, a recording or something. He might not be available. And typically when he gets a call in a traditional world, well, he doesn't know what that call is about. He might not even know who that's from. Or even if he knows who that's from, he doesn't necessarily know if it's important or not. There's no title. You know, there's a title to an email, but no title to a phone call. Well, guess what? We've changed that. We can indeed put titles to phone calls. That's an important thing. But also, typically what people do, and, you know, it's not a mandate. Microsoft's not saying you have to behave this way. But we see people evolve in the way they use the system. So one of the great things that I see, and it's part of the culture that I've kind of evolved into, I don't cold call people anymore. You know, unless we have no choice.
Right.
I typically first, you know, look at their presence if I can and send them an instant message and say, you know, I see you're available and I want to talk to you about this. Mind if I call you? I might even go as far as, hey, I see you're busy, but this is quite important. I would like to get this information from you. Do you mind if I am you that question? You know, that's kind of the flexibility we bring into that.
You know, I think young folks think this way now already in general. I have teenage daughters, and I realize simply don't use voicemail. Rarely use voice conversation at all. It's an SMS and an IM world for them.
That's absolutely true. So one of the aspects of this is availability and interoperability becomes kind of a slightly different concept from what we used to have. You know, it used to be that you would be extremely sequential. I mean, we would all be very sequential, you know, people our age, I'm afraid. And I also have teenage daughters, yeah? and we would be sequential and we would not mind waiting for things. And, you know, sometimes it would just be, well, it comes when it comes. You know, you would send a snail mail and receive the response in snail mail and it was okay. Well, the rhythm of business, the type of requirements we have, you know, if it's a customer request, you need to come back to them quickly. And sometimes even email is not quite the right approach. It's much better to go see, hey, you know what? I need something from that team. It doesn't actually even have to be, you know, Richard. It could be Greg. You know, the team of Richard and Greg might be the team I want to talk to. I want that information from. Let me check. Well, Richard's not there. Greg is here. Let me contact Greg and say, and see, you know, and see if he can answer me on the spot, because that's the best way to provide that information to my customer. There is a flexibility that comes with that. That indeed, you're right. I think the, you know, the younger generation, the millennium folks, and so on, do have. They're a little bit more interruptible when they want to. You don't have to, by the way. You can just put yourself in do not disturb mode or whatever, and just, you know, it's part of the system as well. But you can be interruptible, and then, you know, be much more effective at what you do. The other thing is, I've noticed that there is much less email. There's still email, but email becomes less of this transactional thing. It becomes more of a more structured way of doing things. So if it's something that requires a more formal way, email is great. But if you need something that's more, you know, hey, what do you think of that? Should, you know, do you have that information? IAM actually works very well, and those more instant type of things work very well.
I do think it's interesting, the psychological part of when do you, I've had voice conversations where you said, let's stop talking and send an email on this because there's too many details to discuss.
Yeah.
So you have that. I'm just fascinated, the unified part of this, of recognizing that certain mediums and certain goals are best served in each of those different mediums. And that in general, I'm finding businesses are getting better at recognizing when to switch medium.
I think that makes a lot of sense indeed. And there's a lot of capabilities that the solution we have brings to this. So changing modalities is typically only one click. And then things are going to be part of the same conversation. If you think of the concept of conversations in Outlook, for example, well, that conversation doesn't have to be a conversation of emails. It could be a conversation of phone calls, of IAMs, of conference calls, and of emails. So we've introduced things such as respond to an email with an IAM, or respond to an email with a conference call. Since conference calls are part, you know, audio conference calls and video conference calls and web collaboration conference calls are part of what OCS delivers as well. Well, you have a, you know, you've seen those email chains that continue and kind of almost explode and people respond all the time. And there's a lot of things happening. And sometimes it's kind of the reverse of what you are saying. It's not, you know, let's take it to email. It's, oh, we need to stop this email chain and chat about it for 10 minutes and put it to bed. Well, one button and you're in that conference call with all the participants.
You've hinted at an interesting part of this, which is, do I get a good capture of changing the medium that way? That, you know, I read this email chain and then it sort of dies because I don't realize they switched to a phone call at that point.
And that's part of the value of the system, which, you know, it's still going to continue to be tracked with the same title. If you want, you can record it. You can actually put it as part of a OneNote type of object in there. So you can actually continue to track it. And the conversation is not just going to disappear, but it's also very easy and seamless to go to another modality. Or, you know, sometimes an AM session, that's very fine. You do 3, 4, 5 IAMs, and at some point it becomes a little bit, you know, too much. And, hey, what if I call you? That's fine. You're going to see a trace of that in your, you know, conversation history. And if you want, you can actually memorialize that and even record it.
Mm-hmm. Although I find most of the time when I switch to phone calls, it's because I don't want a record of it.
You can also, you know, if you don't want to record, of course, that's always something you can control. The actual record of conversations, you know, it's part of the type of things that's expected of an enterprise system, that you would have, at the very least, a trace for billing purposes and compliance purposes of what happens.
Sure.
But, you know, what you say there, if you don't want to record it, you know, that doesn't have to be.
You don't have to have all of these components, you know, integrated and installed to take advantage of unified communications, do you? I mean, so let's say, for example, you don't have an IP phone system, but you do use Exchange. Maybe you're looking at Office Communication Server. You know, you use Outlook. You have a SharePoint infrastructure. You can still leverage a good chunk of unified communications in the Microsoft model, right?
That's correct. So let me start with all you can do. And then, of course, it's a Chinese menu. You might decide to do less. I think at some point, if you do too few things on it, well, you may not have enough information in it that, or the modality becomes very basic and it's just another IAM system, which, you know, can, it's still good, but it's only a portion of it. But we have a number of customers who are not fully able, or, you know, for whatever reasons of capabilities on our side or on their side, are not fully able to implement all the modalities, and they're still getting great advantage and value from having partial things. Let me tell you what the entire, you know, chain is there. So together with our brethren in Exchange, and we tend to think of Exchange as the asynchronous component of unified communications, both with email and with unified messaging, and OCS as the synchronous portion of it. So Exchange does have Exchange and unified messaging, and in OCS we have presence, instant messaging, including group instant messaging and instant messaging conferences, if you will. We have group chat, which is some sort of a persistent chat, which enable people to have channels going on, and then they can join back the channel or be alarmed when somebody says, "Hey, the price of gold is going down," and you have a check on that and kind of brings you back in the conversation. Oh, let me see what people say about it. Yeah, that's persistent chat. You have obviously audio and video, which would be either peer-to-peer conversations between two instances, two clients on PCs, where you can do audio with very high quality, much better quality than with traditional, you know, voice systems, wideband audio and so on. Video, including high definition video, which we support, you know, 720p from the desktop at very low cost, with very nice compression and so on. And then we do multi-party, so audio conferencing, video conferencing. We do web conferencing and desktop sharing capabilities using, you know, RDP protocol and things like that. So that enables you to present something that's happening on your desktop, jointly edit an Excel spreadsheet, or, you know, do a whiteboarding session, those kind of things. Yeah. Either with on a one-on-one basis or multi-party. And then we have everything that pertains to telephony, where in the current version, currently available commercial version, OCS 2007 R2, we have a lot of the capabilities that people use for telephony in an IP PBX, if you will. But we're not going to pretend that in that version we're necessarily capable of replacing all IP PBXs in the world. When it comes to the version that's upcoming that was announced about a week and a half ago at VoiceCon, under the code name of Communication Server 14, our intent is to make it fully capable of replacing any IP PBX or PBX in the world, and pretty much obsoleting them from a capabilities point of view, integration into the other parts of unified communication and the economics as well. So that's all the menu, if you want. And then the Chinese menu is such that you can just pick up portions of that.
Just to make sure I'm hearing what you're saying, are you saying that the Wave 14 or the Office Communication Server version 14 it is a full-blown IP PBX?
So that's a very interesting question. I'm going to answer in two ways. I'm going to say yes for the simplicity of the answer, and I'm going to say no in a slightly different way. You know, when Henry Ford was asked, at least I read that he was asked, I didn't witness that, what his grandfather or what his view was on the evolution of technology at the time. He said something like, "If my grandfather had been asked what he would have wanted, he would have said, 'I want faster horses.'"
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that illustrates the notion of thinking linearly based on what you know. You know, if the only thing you know is a horse, you want a faster horse. If the only thing you know is a PBX, you want an IP PBX. But that doesn't mean that it's the right way to go or that it's the most innovative way to go. So I picture what we do in unified communications in the domain of telephony as being the car to the horse, which the IP PBX is. The IP PBX is definitely a faster horse. There is no doubt about it. It's a faster horse. It's a good horse and so on. But we are the car. And the other analogy that I'll continue that analogy a little bit more. When the car came out, you know, let's call that 19 or something. Yeah. Probably it may not even have gone as fast as a horse. It probably broke down all the time and had all sorts of issues. And guess what was towing the car back into the garage? It was horses, yeah?
Right.
So that was still the world of the horse. And to some extent, with OCS 2007 and OCS 2007 R2, that might be the position we're in. People are starting to adopt, and they're starting to do telephony on it with the current version. But in most cases, they're also saying, you know, we can't entirely do away with the horse that the PBX or the IP PBX represents, because we're not entirely sure that it has everything we need. We do have customers that have completely removed their PBXs and, you know, lots of references that I can talk to a little bit later if you want. But that's still, I would say, a little bit of a stretch. When we get to Wave 14, we've built all the capabilities in there, you know, whether that's resiliency, you know, all sorts of failure modes and so on. You can lose pretty much everything. It's still going to continue. Place your calls, receive your calls. In terms of the feature completeness, so pretty much all the features that, you know, even most of the arcane features, Richard and Greg, that you would never have heard of or used in your life, you know, we have a bunch of them. We're not trying to have the 500 features of the PBX, but we have a bunch of them. pretty much all the ones that are required. In terms of the capabilities of the platform to create, you know, very advanced contacts and contact centers and things like this. In terms of the economics, which is very, very important, you know, it's absolutely amazing what type of advantage from an economics point of view we can bring there. And then last but not least, the user experience, you know, what's that user experience of having to press buttons on a phone and only be able to talk into it and essentially have the same, basically the same user experience people had a century ago. You know, it's not that satisfactory. When you have the capabilities of doing it as part of an application embedded in your business processes, together with video if you so choose, together with application sharing and so on, that's a much better solution. So long-winded answer, yes, we're doing something that is capable of answering an RFP for PBX or IPPBX. But no, we're not going to call it PBX or IPPBX.
Well, one would have to argue if the whole concept of PBX is obsolete now. I mean, the original purpose of a PBX was to have a certain number of trunk phone lines and many more handsets, and you assign the lines as needed. Well, once you get to SIP and VoIP, like, that concept is completely obsolete.
So I would agree with you that definitely from a technology point of view, one aspect of that, even so people who've used SIP traditionally to create IPPBXs have done it in a manner that was not necessarily the spirit of SIP. It was much more the spirit of the PBX, you know.
Right.
The spirit of SIP is the spirit of the internet. It's smart edges, dumb core. A PBX is the reverse of that. It's the mainframe. It's smart center, dumb edges. Phones are dumb. Small phones don't have that much processing power, don't have that much capability. So you need a very smart center, smart switch, and so on. And that's not the spirit of SIP. The spirit of SIP is to proxy things between smart endpoints, which is very much what the internet does, which is also what we've done with Office Communication Server. We do have, as much as possible, the intelligence at the edge, at the client. And we can do that because we're using smart clients running on PCs, on, you know, high-end devices and so on. So that's part of the advantage we have here.
By that same token, it's almost as if the telephone handset unit itself is an obsolete concept. This should all just be part of your PC. Everybody's got one. Why would you have yet another device on your desk?
I agree with you. And there's two thoughts that come to mind. The first one is, you know, when I started working, I'm going to date myself again together with the teenage daughter thing. But the first thing I had in my first job was a notepad and a pencil and a phone on my desk.
Right.
And there was nothing else. Then I got a PC. Then I got a mobile phone. And, you know, the enterprise actually started giving me more and more and more capabilities. Pretty much all of those capabilities have evolved very, very fast. The PCs evolved very fast. The mobile phones evolved probably even faster. Guess what has not evolved that much? The phone on the desk.
Right.
And I think eventually some of those things will go. You know, it's not economical for the enterprises. The other thing is, you know, what proportion of my time do I spend at my desk? Maybe 30%, maybe even less than that.
Right.
So my phone is overinvested by 70%. My mobile phone actually is what I'm going to use if I'm not, you know, if I'm traveling. Or I'm going to use my PC and the soft phone on my PC. And guess what? We have single number reach between them. So I'm actually using OCS and it reaches me either on my mobile phone or on my PC very seamlessly. So that's the first thought, which is if something's going to go away, the least effective and the one that has the least economic value and the one that has been the least prone to change, to evolve, to become better, is the phone on the desk, and it's going away. The second thing, the second thought is Skype. And, you know, definitely not a Microsoft product, but it's a very good product. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's shown in the consumer space in a very credible manner and in the small and medium business space that those type of solutions are credible. There is a very large proportion of people. And, you know, I could say Windows Live Messenger as well. There's a lot of people using Windows Live Messenger for audio and video. But those type of consumer solutions are way ahead of what enterprises do. You know, if you're going back to the millennium generation and to the new way of working of those folks, they are used to communicating with soft phones and with those type of solutions. Now they come to work and they're given a phone that might be 20 years old, or right. at least from a concept point of view, makes mm-hmm. no sense. So it might be a matter of time, but I don't believe there is any doubt in terms of where we're going.
You know, I can sit here. I'm looking at my screen right now on one of my computers, and I have Outlook 2010 open. You know, communicators running on the desktop. I'm connected to work via a VPN. I see presence for everybody. I can tell who's in a meeting. I can see their out of office information right there next to their presence and communicator. It's really pretty amazing. For people that are thinking about deploying this kind of stuff, I mean, I think the benefits are pretty obvious, but how does it get packaged? And what do I need to know in terms of thinking it from a technology standpoint? How does this get deployed? And I know there's even different versions of Office Communication Server from a licensing standpoint and capabilities that I need to be thinking about from a cost perspective, right?
Absolutely. So this essentially will come in two main types of approaches. One is going to be on-premise, and the other one is going to be in the cloud. We're still in the early days of doing this in the cloud, but there's already a basic version out there, and there's a new version that's going to come together with the new version on-premise that's been announced recently, and it will have a rich scope of capabilities. And one of the things that we think it's going to be really good at is helping small and medium businesses have access to this type of tools without having to deploy, you know, very heavy things on-premise, essentially just taking it from the cloud directly. So that will be a very valuable solution. It may or may not have exactly the same feature scope, and, you know, in particular in the domain of telephony, which has some regulatory implications, it might have some slightly different scope. But altogether, it's one option for small and medium businesses that's upcoming that will enable them that type of capability. For larger enterprises or enterprises that are capable of deploying server-based solutions, it's very similar to the deployment of Exchange. Now, in the current version, we use the Microsoft Management Console to administer it, but when we get to the next version, we are going to use the same tools that people use for Exchange, PowerShell and so on. From a licensing point of view, for people deploying it on-premise, it's a typical Windows Server plus the, you know, server role to be deployed. It exists in standard edition, which is kind of a single box, self-contained type of solution. Or it exists in enterprise edition with load balancing and high availability and huge scalability. The scalability of the solutions is very, very large. You know, we have customers that, you know, at the 500,000 or so type of simultaneous users on that platform. So that's kind of the range. And typically it's going to be licensed as a client access license. So you essentially pay per user, which is the very typical approach of Microsoft for this type of solutions. I would highly recommend that people who are interested check out Microsoft.com/UC or Microsoft.com/communications-server and get a brief view for that. And they will have opportunities from that on to get trials. There are trials available online, and as well as opportunities to purchase.
Isn't the close for most SMBs around this simply reducing telephony costs? Like, can't you sell it on that, and then the presence capability ultimately becomes this bonus?
That's definitely one way to think of it. Let me tell you some of the things that I have in mind from economics point of view. There's even better, typically for many enterprises, now not necessarily for SMB, but for many enterprises, than the telephony cost to reduce. The two costs that have been climbing a lot for enterprises around communications are mobile phone cost and audio conferencing cost.
Right.
And audio conferencing, you can essentially take all of that back and do on-premise. And in the case of most customers, you can save 80 or 90% of what you were paying your service provider by doing it on-premise. The return on investment on that typically pays for the entire deployment and topology, and typically it's a less than 12 months type of return on investment. It's a very, very high value thing. We have, you know, in the case of Microsoft, we are saving, you know, in excess of $8 million per year on that basis alone, which pays for the deployment, obviously. Yeah. So that's a very valuable thing. Mobile phone, if you can only, you know, try and control and limit a little bit and reduce your mobile phone expenditures, which have been growing like crazy, I'm quite sure.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes now the highest line item of everything that you pay for your employees, you know, if you pay for it. It's more than traditional telephony. It's more than PCs. It's more than software. It's more than pretty much everything at this point. If you have a way of getting a little bit of a hold of that's a great way. And especially when it pertains to people who travel internationally, because that's when you get those roaming charges and so on. So what I do when I'm roaming now is I do either of two things. Either, you know, for one thing, all of my outbound calls, if I can manage them, I'm doing them on voice over IP over OCS.
Right.
So I don't have to, you know, roam and do the things. And I benefit from basic internet access anywhere I'm at. I also am going to use local SIMs, which I can get for 1 week. And I don't need to tell everybody, oh, here's my new SIM, you know, because I'm going to arrange that as a single number reach from OCS. It's completely transparent. It's hidden.
Yeah, you only tell that number to OCS.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so I dial your OCS number, and you can tell OCS which phones to ring whenever anybody dials that number.
You can do all of that. So it's a way of reducing and controlling those costs. And you're absolutely true. You can also, and that's the third advantage, reduce your communications cost by a variety of ways. One of course, if people are on Communicator, you can use that. There is something called Federation. Federation is something which I think is amazing and has tremendous potential. Federation essentially means that companies that have deployed OCS can talk to each other with OCS across the internet. They can do that securely. They can do that for free. There is absolutely no charge. They can do that with at least the same quality that they would have by using the PSTN. In most cases, better quality. They can also add video. They can also do application sharing, desktop sharing. All of that is free. It's across the internet. It's completely seamless. In the case of Microsoft, we have, you know, I think it's a couple of thousand companies that are federated with us that have deployed OCS already. You know, OCS is deployed at 70%, I believe, of the Fortune 100 and growing and very fast growing. And so all of those companies now have the opportunity to bypass the PSTN, not to use it anymore for all those calls. That reduces your expenditure quite substantially.
What do you say to people who, in the context of doing federation, raise the objection that, you know, there's just too much security risk associated with that in terms of data moving outside of an organization or that type of problem?
Absolutely. And concerns about security are all, you know, important, need to be addressed seriously. The federation we do with OCS is not Active Directory Federation Services. So there is no federation of the Active Directories. Active Directory Federation Service is a great service, but in some cases people might react to it, or at least the notion of federating with everybody in the world might be a little bit too much. Yeah. But on the other hand, federation at the OCS level is pretty much like saying, oh, here's my phone number. Please call me when you want. That's not in itself a security concern. Now, from the way it's done, there is essentially a trusted relationship that's based on certificates explicitly that is going to help establish a mutual TLS connection, so a secure and encrypted connection over which the signaling is going to flow, and everything that runs across that link is going to be encrypted, the media with SRTP and the signaling with TLS. So that's a very, you know, secure type of encryption. It's all based on authentication. So to the extent, let's say Microsoft's federated with HP. HP has OCS and we're federated. I trust HP to run their company reasonably well, and somebody who says they are John Doe at HP is very likely to be John Doe at HP, in the same way that I'm very likely to have been authenticated seriously by Microsoft. When we establish that communication, it's actually more secure than any communication we could ever have with any other means. The odds that somebody could, you know, play a man in the middle in that communication or listen to what we have to say is much less than when we place a mobile phone call or traditional PSTN phone call. So there's a lot of those things that have been designed in a very secure manner. We have no, concern at this point in time, and there's no major concern with respect to those technologies. That they're all standard based, by the way. So the encryption and the authentication and so on are all, documented in standard based, which helps reduce the exposure to risk, obviously.
Francois, I think we're about out of time. Any final points, places people should be looking to learn more about OCS and UC?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks very much for the time, by the way. I enjoyed that. And I want again to point people to microsoft.com/UC or microsoft.com/communications server. Both of them will give them a good view for what we do. There are business cases, there are case studies, there are product descriptions, trials, a variety of different opportunities there. And, this is probably, if not the fast growing product, it's definitely up there in the range of what Microsoft's doing right now. There's tremendous excitement with customers and with developers as well, because we have a very, very exciting story to tell from a development point of view. And I very much encourage people to look into it.
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Francois.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Greg.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.